better to pray when you're looking amazing than you get up here and think, gee, they look terrible. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you that we have an amazing church. There's incredible people here. Thank you that nobody was created accidentally, that you've created us all very intentionally. You've created us all for a purpose, and you are very, very concerned about that. So we declare your purpose, your hope, and your future over everybody this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome. Have a seat. Ali, can you come and join me up here? This is my wife, Ali.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the reason I say that is sometimes you don't see her here because we've, as you know, we took some steps that have actually, you know, stretched our teams in some ways with our service at New Norfolk and the Derwent Valley. And Alex has had a very, very strong commitment there. And obviously we've had a different season with small children and things like that. So we haven't always been together, but we're very much pastor together, and we're very much in this together. So I just wanted to say, as we present vision this morning, that I'm talking, you know, for our team, but I'm also talking on behalf of Alex and I too this morning. So you can sit down now. You can say something if you want. And welcome in the beautiful Derwent Valley. I think this is a year where we're going to see great breakthrough in the valley. I prophetically see that something that Greg Jones said here when he was down here last year, he talked about a new stream. And we saw some of that, glimpses of that with our pop-up festival at Bridgewater a few weeks back, or last week. So that was incredible. And I can see that whole area just really starting to go. So that's very exciting. Welcome back, Leanne. Mrs. Godfrey. I assume that Stuart would be working this morning. He's in the hospitality industry, so he deals with all that, or Leanne deals with all that. So, but we're great to see you. A 1 week honeymoon, short and sweet. You're going again, are you? Haven't been yet. Wow, gee. Tell you what, when I got married, I wasn't waiting a week for a honeymoon. What's going on? I just thought we'd linger a little bit. In life, sometimes it's not uncommon to get stuck, is it? To feel like, you know, you've been on a journey, but you can sometimes feel like I've been in this place or I've been parked here for a period of time, and you don't sort of want to stay there, but sometimes it's like, how do I get out of this place I'm in? How do I keep moving? And whether it's career, relationships, health, spirituality, or even contentment or purpose in life, when the wheels stop turning, it actually takes a lot of energy to get them going again. And over recent weeks, I've recounted some stories of perhaps my youth of being stuck or bogged in cars and various things. And I'll tell you another one, because there are lots of them. But I remember one Christmas Eve with a couple of mates in an old Valiant. For those who don't know, a Valiant was an Australian-produced motor vehicle that was very common in the 60s and 70s. Did you ever have one, Dennis? Your father had a Valiant made by the Chrysler Corporation. Anyway, I'm probably going too deep now. But anyway, they were common. And we were driving, perhaps in a place we shouldn't have been, but we were on the beach in East Devonport, on Pardo Beach, I think it was, and just doing what you might do on a Christmas Eve. And the inevitable happened. The car got stuck, bogged, wouldn't go anywhere, wouldn't move, the wheels wouldn't even turn. And it wasn't far from the waterline. And the tide was coming in. So we actually had to do something. So anyway, I walked from the beach, or I ran up the hill to my mate's place. His father was one of the local aldermen of Devonport. But he jumped in his big four-wheel drive and his Bronco, and he came down to the beach and did his civic duty and towed us out. So we got free and we got home. But one of the tricks in driving through sand or going over soft surfaces in a car is just don't stop. Yeah. Keep going. If you stop, there is a fair chance that the wheels are going to sink, and that's where you're going to stay. And it doesn't matter sometimes how much power you have or anything else. If the wheels sink in the sand, you're there. You're finished. You are stuck. It's the other trick to driving over soft surfaces is traction control. Now, I know all the kids today don't know about this because cars have got electronic traction control and they just do that automatically. But back in the day, you know, we had to do that with the right foot and just manage that. And so obviously if you're just spinning your wheels, you can have all the power in the world, but if the wheels spin, if they don't find anything to grip and drive on, you just get yourself into a bigger mess than ever because you dig holes and you sink down. You know what I'm talking about. Now, some people are stuck because they've just run out of power and they feel like they don't have enough energy to get going again. And I've found when I had motorbikes and things, when you put them on something like a beach, it actually requires a lot more power on a soft surface to actually keep the drive going. So a big, powerful motorbike on a beach was a good thing because it had the power to keep going. But it actually sucks the power out of something. Sometimes in life, you can get to a place where you don't want to be stuck, but it just feels like you've run out of energy, whether that's emotional, physical, or spiritual, or even sort of like situational energy. You feel like you haven't got the energy to actually keep going. The other reason that perhaps we get stuck is, yeah, we've got energy, we've got power, but it just feels like we're spinning our wheels. It feels like, yeah, we're putting the effort in, we're trying hard, but we're actually not going anywhere. Has anybody been in any of those places? If you're part of the human race, I think you've been in some of those places from time to time. See, we can find ourselves stuck for all manner of reasons. Now, the accounts I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks in cars are generally because we were somewhere we weren't supposed to be. If you drive on the roads, you mostly don't get stuck. It sort of just works because they're designed to have cars driven on them, and it just sort of works. So often when we get stuck in life, either we're on the wrong track, or the other thing with the cars is we were trying to do something with a car that it wasn't designed to do.
Wow. Wow.
See, an old Valiant station wagon was sort of okay for driving around Australian roads, but it wasn't really designed for driving on a beach.
Yeah.
A lot of the time they'd do it quite well, but, you know, they weren't designed for that. And sometimes in life, we're actually stuck because we're trying to make ourselves do something that we weren't designed or created to do.
Wow.
And the thing I want to actually say about being stuck is you weren't designed or created to be stationary. You know, if you were designed to be stationary, you wouldn't have legs or feet. You'd sort of have pylons and spikes. So you could be sort of planted somewhere, and that's where you'd stay. You know, the amount of movement you could do is sort of, whoa, whoa, and you wouldn't actually be going anywhere. But you were created. We're created. Our bodies are incredibly agile. Our bodies are quite amazing, the way that they can move. But when you think about the way that we think, the way that we're wired, the way that we carry things, we're not created to be stationary. Jesus doesn't want anybody to be stuck. We believe as Energizer Church that nobody needs to be stuck. You're not made to be stuck. You are created to move. And Jesus commanded his disciples when he sent them ahead of himself into the towns of Israel, he said this. He said, don't get stuck.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck. In other words, he was saying, don't get drawn into pointless conversations. Don't get drawn into unnecessary hostility. Don't get drawn in to persecution if you don't need it, because it's going to find you soon enough. He said this, he said, Matthew 10, 23, he says, when you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you, the Son of Man will return before you've reached all the towns of Israel. He basically gave them if you read the verses accompanying this, he gives them the power and the authority to go ahead of him and minister, and he actually gives them their power and the authority not to be stuck. He said, hey, don't waste your time. There's a lot of important stuff to do. So don't find yourself stuck spinning your wheels, going around in circles, or being somewhere where you're just going to get dragged down and you're going to feel like a piece of rubbish and you're not making any progress. If it's not working and it's obvious that it's not working and there's some reasons it's not working, hey, take some steps and move to a place where I will lead you and where it will work. And I'm not saying that you should all get up and move to Brisbane or anything like that. But what I am saying is that in life, sometimes we think if we just sort of hang in by our fingernails, that it's going to come right. And mostly it won't come right unless there is some intention about moving from where we are to where it will come right. And sometimes that's not necessarily a big step. It's just a step. It's just a step from where you are to where you're being called to go. Jesus does not want anybody to be stuck. And I think sometimes even as Christians, we think it's sort of a badge of honor to go around attracting persecution. And Jesus said, look, it'll happen. Don't worry. Don't try and find it. Just even try to actually avoid it if you can. Yeah, it will come, but don't go looking for it. Our heart and energizer this year and at any time is to help you find your next. No one needs to remain stuck. And God keeps us moving by helping us in the unseen and by building structures that sustain us and help us move to our next. Just let's have a look at the screens for a minute. Hey guys, we've got Vision Sunday coming up, as you know. And what's really been on my heart is what's next? Because when you think about, you know, who we are as leaders and what we're really trying to do, probably the most important thing that we can do with the people we lead is help everybody take one step closer to God's purpose for them. It's not about God's purpose for you. It's actually about you facilitating, you know, what God's got for them.
The unseen for me is that secret place where it's God and me, and we can communicate and I can hear His voice. For me, the unseen is just about grabbing those little moments in between meetings and just bringing those.
Sorry, it's going to actually take some sharpening, it's going to take some challenging. So for me, I see collectively that we need to go deeper in relationships and coaching and supporting and just having real deep spirited friendships in our church. I think the big next for a lot of people is actually making that decision. That decision to get connected into a connect group, that decision to do Grow Track, that decision to join a team and actually start to bring the gifts, bring the skills that you have into a collective place where you can actually develop yourself and also be a blessing to others. So the next thing for a lot of people this year is stepping into the next season of ministry, the next season of relationship, the next season of what God has for us, which is found not in isolation, but in community and in part of the church.
I think the next step is just keep moving. We often just stand stationary and we don't know which way to take those steps. And I think if we kept going forward, we're going to reach that destination a lot quicker. And a lot of things are unseen, but it's a group of people just getting together so we can all take that one step.
So it's time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to take us to places that we haven't been before. Those unwalked paths, the unsung songs, into the wilderness and into the wild where the Holy Spirit is leading us and we're 100% trusting Him and relying on Him to lead us.
So what's your next in 2018? What is it for you that is going to build and develop what is under the surface so that you can actually sustain what is seen and what is above the surface in 2018? I think 2018 is going to be a great year. What is your next? Cool. So we've actually spent a lot of time as a team looking at how we can move to what's next. And the thing that probably has hit us more than anything is that we've actually got to really spend more time and energy than ever focusing and working on what is unseen. Those things that are under the surface. And as we've said, you know, it is what is under the surface that will sustain what is and what will be seen. And that's true for us as a church, and it's true for you as individuals, it's true for us as families, businesses, whatever we're involved in. We've actually got to spend some time doing that. And often it takes a bit of discipline to do that, doesn't it? Because, you know, my nature is to get straight into it. It's to, you know, no, don't worry about that. We'll work it out as we go. And maybe, you know, that's helpful in certain ways, but it actually requires a fair bit of discipline to say, hey, there's some stuff that we've got to get right if we're going to be able to go to where we're called to go. And in John 8:28b, B means the second half of the verse, Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, but only what the Father taught me. So he said, Jesus himself, God himself, the Son of God, said, I don't just go running off doing any cavalier thing that looks good at the time. I'm actually only doing, and another version says, I'm only doing, or another verse says, I'm only doing what I've seen the Father do. Yeah. So there was this connection where it was incredibly intentional, and he knew what he was about. And he knew the heart of his Father, of course, because they had the perfect relationship. And he said, I only do what he has taught me to do. I'm not just running off doing any old thing. You see, the power of Jesus' public life was realized in his private life or his unseen world. And you've probably heard that an iceberg, and I've talked about this in previous weeks, has 87% of its mass actually under the water. So when it's viewed from the waterline, you know, you're only seeing around that 13% of its mass, which actually sits above the waterline. So often we focus on the wow stuff, on the things that are highly visible. And you know, like that's like the section of the iceberg that you see. If there's anyone here that's been on one of those Canadian or Alaskan, that other state, the Alaskan cruises, where if we get icebergs in Hawaii, we've turned out of this cycle, haven't we? And that wow stuff, those incredible structures that you see are the things that are above the surface. And it's actually being sustained. The reason it floats like that is it's got this incredible mass that sits under the water that enables that to happen. You know, what I reckon for us as a church, you know, what God's actually calling us to have a mass, something that is so sustains us under the surface that there's going to be some incredible things that are seen. But to go to that place, you know what? We've got to put our energy into those things that are unseen. Yeah. Those things that actually sit under the surface and sustain what will be seen. See, it's the unseen, as I've been saying, that supports and sustains what is and will be seen. Yeah. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is like a wise person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain and the floods and torrents come towards it, this is me paraphrasing because I lost my place, and the winds beat against it, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Now, anyone who listens, and the word there for anyone who listens, it didn't just mean, oh yeah, I've heard it. It meant to attend to or consider. In other words, take it in and then make a step and move on it. Take it in and move. Take it in and move. We've got a little boy who actually is incredibly sharp and doesn't miss anything that you say. But there's a whole lot that he doesn't want to attend to. He pretends he doesn't hear, but you can be saying something else and he's heard every bit of it. So, and often we're like that with what God is calling us to. It's the difference between hearing and attending to. Attending to. This year we're going to focus and build what is below the waterline. And we're going to work really hard on the unseen. And the Bible language for that, the Christian language for that, and I think that's sometimes a language that causes us to sort of go, oh, is discipleship. Because there have been so many books and stuff written about it, and it's all there. And I think sometimes we, over the years, it's been made so complicated that nobody can do it and everybody feels worn out. But you know what? The essence of discipleship was what Jesus did when he called his disciples, and he didn't say, sign up for this, get into this program, do all these things. He just said, follow me. And yes, discipleship was a journey. But in Exodus, when God promised to save the Hebrews from Egypt, he made some promises. And I think those promises, those four promises that you'll read about in Exodus 6, 6 and 7, they actually really clearly tell us what the discipleship journey is. And number one is salvation. It is to say yes to Jesus. To say, you know what, I've been trying to do my life by myself. I've been seeing you in my peripheral vision, or I've come to church every now and again, or I've even been in church all my life, but have I made a choice that I've said I will follow you no matter what? Yeah. And that is salvation. That is the instant when your spirit is actually renewed. And the Bible says really clearly that in that moment that you become a new person, the old man is gone and your spirit is completely renewed. It is new. It's a supernatural transformation, and there's no other word for it. Now, that's the first thing that happens. That's the first step in following Jesus. The second thing is transformation or deliverance. Salvation happens in a moment. Transformation or deliverance is a lifetime journey. And anybody who's lived on this earth and struggles with what the Bible calls our sin nature, that's talking about the old man. That's talking about the way that we live in this world and all the rubbish and the stuff and the way that we get so bent up and out of shape because of what's happened to us and what people have done and said and the way that we want to think and our selfish nature and am I inspiring you? And all that stuff.
That's great,
though. That's our sin nature. But when you were saved, you were given a new spirit, but the journey of transformation is actually your spirit taking control of that old nature. And Jesus gave you the authority to do that. And the third thing is purpose, or being living on purpose, or being equipped or being empowered. And, you know, the way that happens is we serve and we get involved in the things that God has called us to do. And the fourth thing is really, you know, God's plan for you is living in community, living in family, and being part of a kingdom that will never end, that will bring about ultimate transformation. You see, and they are the four steps of discipleship. And yes, maybe there's a sequential order to them, but there are times where we've also got to go back and say, what, gee, am I following the way that I should? Or perhaps I need to look at a little bit of that transformation stuff. There are some things that have got hold of my life that I need to be set free of. Or I've lost a little bit of purpose somehow, and you get led back into that sense of purpose. Or maybe you've got a little bit disconnected from the fact that you're in family, that you're in a church, and you feel like you're not in those places. But that essentially is the journey of discipleship. Four steps, and Jesus was clever enough not to put numbers on things. He talked a lot broader than that, but for us, simplistically, sometimes it helps to go to verses and see what that order is, and it helps us walk through that. Matthew 10, 1 to 8, this is Jesus again taking his disciples to the next. At this point, they'd been following, they'd been learning, they'd been around with him, and he said, actually, now I'm going to send you ahead. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus, who said to his disciples, the main thing that you need to do is follow, and then he gets them to a point where there is a certain empowerment, and he actually sends them ahead. And sometimes when life is a little bit not so clear, but you know that you're where God's meant you to be, sometimes he's actually saying, I want you to go ahead a little bit. You won't see anything, and perhaps you're going to have to build your faith. You're going to have to take some steps because you won't quite be able to see things the way that you were. But that is where the growth happens. You see, those disciples, they grew massively when they went ahead of him into the towns of Israel. And he says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, heal every kind of disease and illness. So to engage your next, number one, I've just been talking about it, follow. Number one, follow. Salvation is received when we choose to follow Jesus. Jesus called them and he said in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will show you how to be fishers of men. Now, as I read the Gospels, that is something that is actually recorded more times than just about anything else in relation to that discipleship journey. 8 times in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, follow me. That's in one gospel. So it's not a repeating thing. It's not the same thing being recorded in a different place. It is 8 times intentionally in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, follow me. For those that are theologians, you will know that 3 times is pretty big. But 8 times Jesus said, follow me. And the apostles, in the most part, didn't come from the bright, shiny side of town. They didn't come from the educated class. Jesus changed the world with 12 ordinary guys. What was their secret? There is no limit to what he will do with us if we're prepared to follow. There was no limit in what was achieved through those disciples because it's still going. And what was their secret? They weren't educated. They didn't come from privileged backgrounds in the most part. They just decided to follow. When you read those accounts, you read that he called this one and that one, and yes, he was very intentional about that. But, you know, I get a sense that there were others along there that when he said, follow me, they thought, hey, that mightn't be a bad idea, but they actually didn't take the step. And I reckon if we get to the end of our life and we reflect about things, that the things that we're not going to worry about how big a house we had and some of that sort of stuff, we're actually going to notice, did we follow? Did we take those steps? It says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. And you should imitate me, this is Paul talking, as I imitate Christ. Paul says, follow me because you can see me and I've seen and been with Christ. See, ultimately, we follow Christ. And this is the essence and the crux of making great disciples. This is the essence and the crux of building a church that has a big impact on a city and is about kingdom purpose, as opposed to just a bunch of people that meet together, is that Paul says, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you're like a lot of people, that first thought is, well, who are you to say that? I grew up in a church that really held up high a thing called the priesthood of all believers. You know what? We're all equal when we get saved, and that is so true. Yep. So nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't need to follow anybody. I just get my word directly from Jesus. But what we do is we take away accountability. We take away the ability for God to actually, because he always works through people. And he speaks through people and he leads through people. So what am I saying? I'm saying none of us are perfect, but it actually takes some humility and for us to lay down some pride to say, you know what? I'm going to allow Jesus to impact through me through another person who is not totally perfect, and we're going to follow and we're going to get on with what he's called us to do. Wow. You see, if we don't lay that down, we will never make a difference. We will just be there and thereabouts. And we'll be doing our own thing and we'll feel good in certain moments, but there will be a time we think we've missed what we were called to do. And it requires us to say, I am going to follow. So how does that happen in reality for us as a church? What are we laying out here for 2018? Well, we've talked over the years about connect groups, and they are incredibly important to us, and we're not making them less important. They're actually being ramped up. You see, if we want to follow, we've got to have somebody to follow. Our goal is that everyone who chooses to connect with Energizer Church clearly has somebody to follow. Yeah. Now, not everybody's going to immediately arrive at that place. Yeah. It takes a while to build trust and relationships and connection, and we're all in different places, and there's no judgment or on anybody who is sort of working that stuff out, because we're on a journey together. That is really cool. But you know what? If you want to be part of making a difference, choosing to be connected in a way that you know who you're following makes an incredible difference. Yeah. How do we do that? Well, connect groups. Andrew and Claire, I think we've got part of them here. Are you here, Andrew? Were you in kids' church? He's here. Come here, Andrew, quick. So they can look at you. So Andrew and Claire are overseeing our connect groups this year. So they, those that are heart and soul will know we prayed into this. They have taken that on from Grant, who's done it. Grant Mullen, who's done an incredible job. This is Andrew. So Andrew and Claire are overseeing connect groups together. Their main goal is working with a team of people, what we're calling our coaches, who actually make sure that our connect groups are able to grow and develop. So that's what they're doing. But if you want to know more about connect groups, have a talk to them, and they're going to work hard on that. What do we want to achieve through a connect group? Well, it's number one, it's a place to connect. Everybody needs a place to connect. It's great connecting on Sundays or when we get together, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But if you want to get to a point where you've got somebody to follow, it can't all happen in this sort of environment. So we've got to get together in smaller groups to be able to do that. Right. So a place to connect. Number two, it's a place to protect. Everybody needs a safe place. Yeah. Everybody needs to be able to have safe people around them where you can go on the journey. Now, you all would have shared, anyone that's been around here for a while, you would have shared parts of your life and stuff with people, and some really painful and, you know, intimate things you've talked about with people that are sitting here in this room. But you're not going to, most of you don't want to come up and get the microphone and say, hey, you know, let me talk to you about this thing that's going on in my finances or my marriage or my family or whatever. You need a safe place to do that. And it's actually wise to do that in a safe place. So a connect group needs to be a place where we protect, where we look after. You've got someone who's protecting you and looking out for you, and a place to grow. You know, we've got to have a place where we can grow. And the second way that we want to do this, and this is something new, and you'll see this starting to take effect much more in the second term of this year, because we're working on this at the moment at a core team level, is what we're calling coaching. Sometimes, you know, people talk about mentoring, but we're calling it coaching. And the idea is that through either a connect group leader and or a coach, you would have a coach who intentionally works with you to help you take another step towards God's purpose for your life. So they're not trying to bend you or modify you or make them like them. They're actually trying to, if they're meeting with you in that sort of intentional way, What is their prayer before they meet? It is like Dan and I have had that sort of relationship for, I don't know, probably 8 years now, 8 or 10 years. But what is my heart in that? And sometimes we get it better than others. But my heart is, how can I help Dan take another step towards God's purpose for his life? That's all in the context of a whole lot of other things we're doing. But that is what I most want to do when we're having that sort of catch-up. See, a coach will intentionally be working with you to help you take another step towards God's purpose. And, you know, Jesus did this. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, he told us the importance of that. He says, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey. Gee, we love that, don't we? All the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. So as Jesus' followers, our key role is actually to make disciples. Jesus said, I will look after the church. You start working with people. And the method, if you like, is to make, mature, and multiply. Make disciples, help them mature, and then see them multiply. The function, how this coaching we're talking about, what's the function, if you like? How's it going to work in our context? Well, I think it's organic and it's organized. I reckon I'm somebody who enjoys organic much more than organized. Because organizing requires a bit of discipline. It requires sitting down and working some stuff out. But, you know, most of us enjoy the organic perhaps a bit more than the organized. There are people that like the other. And we need them. And we thank God for them. Come on, we don't need to say names, Leanne Cleet. Godfrey. Leanne's not very organised. She's a mess. See, organised coaching times allow us to be more intentional, don't they? See, it's like when you go and kick a football with your mates, you can have a lot of fun and you can take, you know, when we used to do it at school, you know, we'd have these times at school when everybody kicked the footy. And it just seemed to go through a season and you'd get momentum and you'd get these two massive packs at either end. And you're just kicking the footy backwards and forwards. And in those times, some amazing things happen. Someone would take the most amazing screamer, you know, the biggest specky mark. And then somebody else would get incredibly hurt. You know, all these things would happen in those times. And it was a lot of fun. But if you wanted to play league football, if you wanted to play in the AFL, you wouldn't get there just by kicking the footy backwards and forwards end to end in the playground. There would be a time that your training would need to become more intentional, disciplined, and structured so that you're not just working on the one thing.
Yeah, wow.
And that's the stuff that we're talking about in the unseen and under the surface where we talk about making disciples. So organized coaching times allow us to be more intentional. Right. Organized coaching sets apart valuable time for us to focus on where God is, what truth is, and how he's going to align you to that truth and where you are going next. So organized coaching sets apart, listen to this, valuable time for us to focus on where God is. And we know that God hasn't changed and he's still there, but where is he in where your situation is right now? Where's God in what's going on in your world right now? What is truth in your situation? Because truth doesn't disappear. When we get off track, it's mostly because we throw truth out the window and we start to sort of do what we think feels right rather than finding out the truth in that situation. and he will align you to where he is going and where you need to go. That is your next. Number two, and Jesus was really clear with his disciples about this. Before he sent them to those towns, he actually drew them together and he said, hey, look, there's stuff that needs to be done here. He said, the fields are right ready for harvest. How are we going to do it? And I guess they looked around and thought, wow, there's 12 of us and a lot of people. I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, well, you need to pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send workers. So I think that to engage your next, prayer has got to be a big part of that. You've got to pray. Yeah. You've got to pray. It says this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will just get together in groups and pray, it says humble themselves. In other words, we're not making it about our will, but his will. So we're praying in line with the will of God. I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Yeah. Wow. All right, to engage your next, we've got to gather. You see, it says Jesus called them together. He actually drew them in and says, hey guys, this is important. We need to be in this together. We need to hear this together. He could have actually had an individual coaching, mentoring session with each one of them and told them what he was going to do. And perhaps he did that. We don't know. But when he actually empowered them, he gathered them together and he said, I want you to capture this as one. Yeah. And if we don't gather, we will not capture what we're doing as one. We do lots of meetings and things in our world, and at times, you know, someone can't be somewhere, and you know, we're in a world where you can gather in all sorts of different ways, and you know, at times it's an important one, and you say someone's not there, and say, you know, we decide we're going to Skype or FaceTime somebody into the meeting, and it sort of works. It sort of works. Mostly, it's difficult because you don't capture the essence and the spirit of something when you don't gather properly. Yeah. And as a church, you can say, well, I don't need to be at Vision Sunday. I don't need to be there. Or, you know, I can hear, I can get online, or I can know, or actually even better still, I'll listen to Joel Osteen. You know, all these things that we think we can sort of don't quite need to gather. But the essence of what God is asking us to do is in the power of gathering. Wow. Wow. So how do we gather? Well, we gather with worship services like we are this morning. We gather in connect groups. We gather at Heart and Soul, where we actually talk more specifically and deliberately about vision and where we're going and how we're going to do that together. And we can just take a little bit more time to do that in that essence. We gather through encounter nights where we actually intentionally come together and allow the Holy Spirit to actually deal with things in our life and encourage us and empower us. And in that moment, something supernatural can happen so often and something is broken off your life. And we do that in teams, where we actually get together and form a team to be about the purposes of God. What an amazing team that was formed to do the pop-up festival in Bridgewater. What an amazing team. Now, Grant and Elizabeth and Leonie just did an incredible job leading that team. And we saw God do amazing things through that and starting to open some incredible doors. It wasn't done through one person. Yeah, maybe somewhere along the line, one person had an idea, and Alex and I said, yeah, we're committed to this as a church. You know, from there, we actually didn't do a whole lot, but there was a team that formed, and in that team, anybody who was part of that team came away inspired, encouraged, and more equipped and engaged much more with what God is doing in their life. You see, in team, that sort of stuff is realized. That all of us need to be part of some sort of team. Yeah. And then there's the organic. That we just gather together because we like each other. We gather together because we want to include people in our worlds. We have a meal together. We go motorbike riding together. Whatever it is. Yeah, we go to the beach. We go for coffee. We enjoy a nice restaurant. Or we just just go and spend some time. Whatever it is, the organic is actually important too. It's another way that we gather. All right. To engage your next, number four, receive. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, receive my spirit. He actually encouraged them that they needed to be equipped and empowered, and he gave them authority to go. You see, if we want authority, then we must place ourselves under authority. You see, the reason that they had authority was not because they knew a whole lot. It wasn't because they had degrees in theology. It wasn't because they were some sort of gurus. It was because Jesus, the Son of God, gave them his authority. He said, I'll give you my authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal the sick and bring about change.
Right.
And how did they get that authority? By placing themselves under his authority. We receive through gathering, we receive through seeking, and we receive through our positioning, where we place ourselves, and that's under authority. All right, to engage with your next, go. He said to the disciples, go ahead of me. Step, take a step out, go ahead of me. Go. And I think sometimes there'll be some of us here that think, oh yeah, this is good. We can focus on the discipleship stuff. We can focus on under the surface stuff. And I'm sort of comfortable with all that. But gee, don't ask me to go to Bridgewater. Or don't ask me to actually move from where I am.
Wow.
And we all feel that at times, don't we? Because
yeah.
It's uncomfortable. It's challenging. And it's sometimes jolly inconvenient. See, I haven't been on one of my Saturday bike rides that I really enjoy for about 3 weeks or something like that. I'm starting to have withdrawals.
Wow.
And he said, I'm probably not going to go next week either, because we've got a young adults retreat, and I want to sow into those guys. I want to be up there and part of that and sowing into them. If I wanted to get my life perfect, well, I might have done it at a different time, but that doesn't matter. What we're called to is more important than, for me, cycling.
Yeah, wow.
A lot of these things are inconvenient,
yeah.
but to go is always a little bit inconvenient.
Yeah,
wow. But let's decide. We're going to go. Who's ever gone somewhere and gee, it was hard to get there, and when you get there, you're so glad you did. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Even going around to someone's place for dinner. You're trying to finish work, you're trying to do this and get that, and maybe if you've got kids, you've got to get them babies, all this stuff. And it's like, it's just easier not to go. Like a holiday. Sometimes it's easier not to go on a holiday because you've got to do all this stuff to get there. You think, why do we even bother having a holiday? It creates more stress. And if you sort of put the scales there, I think it's going to create more stress than the holiday can relieve. So we might as well just stay at home. But when you get there, you're so glad you did. We went to Orford on Monday. Some of Alex's family were staying up there. And we'd come out of a really busy weekend. I'd had an ACC pastors and leaders retreat down at Port Huon, and then we'd had pop-up festival, and then we had Leanne's wedding, and then it was one of the best weddings I've been to, by the way. And then there were lots of other things that were even going on in our personal world and all these things. And what did we most feel like doing Monday morning, Alex and I? As well as that, Alex was getting stuff to print for Vision Sunday. All sorts of stuff was all happening, and we said, oh, we're going to go to Orford. And we got there, and when we got there, we were so glad we did.
Yeah.
And if we wouldn't take that back, because we enjoyed that time. And I think we miss out on so much because often we don't go and we allow the circumstances to dictate our next step. You see, we've got to get back to allowing the call of God, the fact that we're following Jesus, and the vision that we're carrying to be what dictates our next step rather than our circumstances. See, this year I've said we're going to work what's under the surface, and that's our key goal. But to achieve some of those things, it's going to stuff that we want to do. We've been talking about, you know, the fact that this building is sort of a place where we think it's a bit of a stepping stone, and we're looking for other opportunities, and we've been doing that for quite a long time. But we've come to a point where it's okay. We've actually got to make it work a bit better, even if we are going to go somewhere else to actually achieve even some of these things that are under the surface. So the high priorities is what's under the surface, but we're not pulling back from saying, oh, it's going to be a bit difficult. We're going to try and, you know, we're going to raise some money and try and redo our entrance there. This place needs recarpeting. The kids' area needs upgrading. Hey, we want to be in a position where we can actually do more services in our city and be able to do things. And we're seeing the benefit of what we do with live streaming. You know, we need to upgrade all that. And that stuff, it's all there. But number one priority is focus on what's under the surface, and in the going, we will achieve some of those things. And yes, we will have to step into some uncomfortable places, and we need to go into some of those places to be part of the big picture. And when we do, we're so glad we did.
Yeah.
When we do, we're so glad we did. So how do we go? Well, we've got so much going on again this year, as always. You know, church together. We've got Kingdom Foundation Sunday coming up, where we look beyond our borders and our family. You know what? You can go. Your family is a place that you go and you have an impact and you're called to make a difference. Your workplace is a place where you go. You don't just turn up. There's a difference between turning up and going.
Yeah.
Talk to our leaders the other day, and we were talking about how we can have the best possible atmosphere when we meet together. And I just sort of made a little throwaway comment that a couple of people talked to me about afterwards. I said, you know what, before we come into the meeting, you know, we've had all sorts of stuff going on. We might have been caught in traffic. Work might have been really bad. Could have an argument with our spouse. I don't know who does that. But, you know, we had all these things that can be happening in our world. And I was just a little challenge was, do we actually say, Lord, as I walk into this meeting, I want you to deal with that. I want you to prepare me, and I want your Holy Spirit to be evident. And I can tell you, I've done that numerous times. And lots of times I haven't too, by the way. And the difference is absolutely remarkable. So we've actually got to prepare ourselves to go rather than just turning up. If you just turn up, you'll just turn up and you'll be there. Alex and I went to the tennis a while back, and it was good. We had a lot of stuff. We just turned up and watched some good games. And then the main game that we watched and spent the most money to watch was a little bit of an anticlimax, because Nadal withdrew in the fifth set because he got injured. And right at the end of it, it was like, we just felt like we just sort of turned up in just that moment, and we're just there. But I think when you go really intentionally, there's a difference in what you receive. Do you just turn up to church, or are you sent? Are you sent? Do you come in here to make a difference? Yes, you come in to receive. But if we're prepared, you've got amazing what the difference. Your connect group, your family, your workplace. When we go and reach into the Derwent Valley. Like the Derwent Valley, the team there, Simon and Jane and the guys up there, are just doing such an incredible job. And why don't we give them a hand? I know Simon this morning would have been here. We actually changed the date of church together, but he's in Queensland. Vision Sunday. And they're doing an incredible job. But let's get around. Let's get around and be part of that and help that to function the best way it possibly can. Let's be excited about the doors that are being opened up, Bridgewater, Gagebrook, and all the opportunities that are in front of us. There's no shortage of places to go.
Yeah.
Let's not just turn up, let's be sent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be sent. In following weeks, the team want to join me now. In following weeks, next week, I want to have our next Sunday, and it's called What's Your Next Sunday? Not what you've got next Sunday. What's your next Sunday? my encouragement is that we could walk out of this place and know what our next is, or if we haven't found it, saying, I actually, I'm on a journey to knowing that. And it doesn't have to be a big, woo, wow thing. It's actually, what's the next step? And we've got some cards here, and the team are going to give them out in a minute. And they'll also give out our vision brochure, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But on these cards here, some of you might already know, you might have been thinking about this already. Or this morning, God may have spoken to you really clearly about your next. What we're going to do is just write our next down on that. And for those that are comfortable, and I encourage you to do this because there's something powerful about taking a step, is to write your next down. You don't have to have your name on it. You can if you want to. Why don't we just clip them up here, whichever way around you like. That you're actually, you know, you're posting your next. And your next could be to say, I want to be in a Connect group this year. Or I would like to establish that coaching relationship where I know who I'm following. Or maybe you're here and you're on the journey. You haven't actually even made a choice to follow yet. Maybe your next step is that I'd like it to make some sense. I'd like to work it out. Whatever it is, maybe your next is to be part of a team. Maybe your next is to say, hey, this job I'm in at the moment, I don't think it's where God wants me to be. And what's your next step into Him working in you so that you can be where you think you're called to be? Let's just start to put down a next, and we're going to pray into that in just a moment. But when we sing in a sec, just be a bit bold, come up and peg that on there. You can even get another card. You might have something now you know about. You can just do that. Maybe you want to be a bit more reflective and consider that. You know, take one with you. You can grab another one. There'll be the extra cards around on the tables in the cafe after the service, and you can grab those and you can take one home and you can write down what your next is. What I haven't particularly talked about this morning is some of the stuff that underpins everything I've been talking about that doesn't particularly change from year to year. And in there, you will see our vision statement, what we ultimately see as a church. And that's fairly broad, and so much of that has already been achieved, but it continues to be achieved. You can see our values, the things that in a culture as a church that we value. Those things are written down there. You can see our cause, the mission, why we're actually here. So those things actually are there. They underpin everything that I've talked about this morning. They're really clear in that. And then there's just a little article, whatever you want to call it, there on the front. And it sort of encapsulates where we've been going today. So you can come back and just consider those. So take that home with you, and that's really what this year is all about at Energizer. What we will do is as we move into that second term where we really want to help you discover how coaching works for us as Energizer, we'll have a Sunday that's very focused on that. We'll talk into that. We'll have some material much like this. It's just very focused on that actually tells you all about how that works. Because it's actually really important. I know some people are getting very excited about this already because we've been talking about it, and that's really good. I encourage you to do that, start to think about that. But at the same time, what we want to do is make it safe. Make it really, really safe. Because, you know, sometimes those things, if there's not some parameters there, they're not always safe. So that's what we want to deliver. So we're working on that as a team at the moment. And you'll see that there's no problem at all organically catching up with people and doing that. But as we work on that, our main aim is to make it sustainable and safe. So let's stand. What's your next? What's your next in 2018? What's your next in February? What's your next in March? Let's start to engage with that. I just encourage you. Let's start to bring those things out and say, you know what? I'm not going to be stationary. I'm not going to be stuck in 2018. I'm going to move on to my next. And I'm actually going to be bold enough and disciplined enough to focus on some of those things that are under the surface. Thanks.